From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour is made in the workplace. Now, in years past, that word alone had a specific connotation, the workplace. You came to a building to work. You might have a cubicle or a specific space, walled off, relatively private. There was a grid of worker desks. You know how it looks. But the modern workplace has been changing for a number of reasons and a number of ways. There's the work-from-home movement, putting a premium on flexibility, sometimes over higher levels of pay. There's the shared space office, tearing down partitions, bringing employees closer together. And there's the co-working space. And Mashable recently asked, could this be the end of the office as we know it? Huffington Post raved about the rise of co-working. But an op-ed in the Washington Post is pushing back a bit, saluting the old office model under the headline, "The Open Office Trend is Destroying the Workplace." Now, the open office is not the same as co-working, but there's some similarities here and some common threads. And this hour, a discussion about the modern workplace. What setting do you prefer? Have you tried something different? Have you tried something like co-working? What works best for you? Our guests come from the co-working world, which I'm not sure how long that's been a thing, but it's a thing now. And Barry Strauber and Chris Cooley are here. They are members and co-founders of Carlson Co-Works. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for having us. Kelly Cheadle's here, Artistic Director at Aragami, and she works from the Made on State facility. Kelly, welcome to you.
Thanks so much.
And Brianna Banford is here. She's a Yelp Rochester Community Director, and she works from the Outfit Collective. And Brianna, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so Barry and Chris, I'm going to start with you, and maybe what we should do is kind of work through some terms and definitions here. Co-working means what specifically?
Co-working is a space, right? It's where individual business owners share amenities like Wi-Fi, 24/7 access, desk space, all that stuff. So that's the generalized version, but the real core of it is in creating a community of people.
Yeah, I mean, what we decided to do in the beginning was look at the real true intention, the great value that you can get from co-working, which is to create a like-minded sort of ecosystem, like a community of people that would support each other. Everyone doing the same thing, everyone having their own businesses, but also driving to try to do something very good amongst themselves and wanting to sort of support everybody else. So we look at everybody that we bring into our co-working space as being part of this movement, this system that works together.
I mean, in a sense, people are assuming we're going to break into kumbaya here.
Yeah.
But that supportive Sounds nature, like that. I know that's key to this. So let's talk about the size here. Carlson Co-Work is how big?
It's about 65 members now.
I'm going to grab you by the ear and put you right on that microphone.
It's about 65 members. I know. Sorry. About 65 probably now. We've been open since April of 2015. 65
members. We fluctuate between 45 and 65. The cap's about 70.
Okay.
And we had 45. No, we had 65 less than our first year open.
Right. You've been open a year and a half now.
Yep.
And what kind of square footage do you have?
16,000 square feet.
16,000 square feet.
Yep.
Where is it?
It's in the heralded sort of famous building in Rochester called the Stromberg Carlson Building, which is on Carlson Road. But yeah, 800,000 square feet, which now is being taken up by other entities. But we were there pretty early on where we were one of the few.
The building itself is 800,000 square feet.
Yep.
That's like 27 acres of building.
Yes.
All right. And the co-work is 16,000.
16,000.
Yeah, it's a small section.
So right. I walk into the co-work and what does it look like?
It's open. It's an open space. There are some offices, but we started and we really didn't have a huge budget, so we used some old cubicle walls that were in the basement.
Right.
There was a census done in that building, and they broke their lease, I believe, so we got all their stuff. They had to leave it.
Yeah, the beauty of the building is that we walked in there, and it had not been touched for a while. This was a building that was like the symbol of great business in Rochester for years, since the 1800s, and we walked in there. It had been not touched. It had been Kodak and Bausch & Lomb and Harris offices, so that's why all the stuff in the basement was just there. But it looked like Mad Men's sort of era. These offices were untouched. There was conference tables that were like 900 pounds that you couldn't pick up, and very upholstered furniture. And so when I saw that, it reminded me of co-working spaces I had seen in New York City, which had just started and had started to create these sort of very cool-looking retro spaces that people can go into and work.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like the perfect space. And then we were blessed with having a real estate company that owned the building that said, you know, let's try to do this. Let's see if we can do this.
And I want to make sure I'm clear on it. If I become a member, and that's the term,
right.
I think.
It's member.
Yeah. You guys have
Absolutely.
Members.
Yeah.
Member. Whereas, well, I guess, Kelly Cheadle, you're a member of a co-work. Are you a member?
I don't know that we necessarily have like a secret handshake or anything, but we're
because they're in a different space. It's the Maidan State facility, which is where?
Just down the street. We're at 510 State Street, yeah, so right, it's really convenient to hop over here.
Okay, and you've been there for how long, by the way?
We started moving in at the beginning of the summer, so maybe about June, and I think we've finally felt moved in by the end of the summer.
Okay, and Brianna Banford, the Yelp Rochester Community Director, works from the Outfit Collective.
Yes.
For how long?
It's been about 6 months since June.
Okay, where is that?
It's located in the Michael Stern Building downtown on Clinton.
Okay, so. And when it comes to the way the space sets up, similar for where you guys are working compared to Carlson?
Ours is a loft kind of format. It's very open and each person has like a little desk area and could bring in what they wanted. And
so, Brianna, you know, when you go to work, do you have set times you're allowed to be there? Do you have set space you're allowed to use? How does it work?
We can be there anytime, any day, midnight. Some people have been there very late. Some people come in daily. Some people come in whenever they need to get work done. It's really great.
Okay. For us, you know, we don't have set office hours per se. The goal was to try and find a group of folks that would be there during the daytime, not necessarily 9 to 5, but that we would actually get a chance to bump into each other and, you know, kind of be able to bounce ideas off each other. So if we're not there at the same time, that's kind of difficult.
All right, so that's interesting. You wanted an office space where you would be going to work and there'd be other people in different lines of work there, right?
Right. So the way Maidan State is set up, we're actually individual offices in a very cooperative style building. Because originally, quite a few of us came from the Hungerford building where, you know, that's got, I think, like 100 studios over there. But all of us had kind of, you know, used part of our spaces for things like a tiny kitchenette or a gallery space or a space to sit and hang out. And that was kind of a waste of our, you know, precious square footage. So when we had the opportunity to move down here on State Street and the building was raw, like absolutely, it was the old Rochester Welding Building, the old Rochester Marina, you know, a bunch of buildings that were just kind of cob-jobbed together years and years ago. And, you know, we've been working with Webster Properties and they've been really good about working with us as far as, you know, finding out how we want to use the space and then having that influence how they make decisions on, you know, where things go and whatnot.
But you don't want to be there when it's empty. You'd rather not.
I'd rather not be. I'd like to see people. I think that was part of the goal, you know, originally in moving into the Hungerford was, you know, everybody got that chance to go and work from home in their yoga pants, and now they're like, I'm lonely. I need to see people.
I have this vision of, like, let's say I make glass-blown miniature horses. That's what I do. They're real to scale. And you do what?
I make large-scale balloon installations and
see,
animations.
Not the same. Not exactly the same. And then right, next to us is maybe a freelance journalist. And so three different, very different things. Why can I help you with origami, for example? I mean, what knowledge do I have that could be useful to you?
So in some ways it's knowledge. In some ways it's tools. So for example, we have, you know, in our building, we've got Jesse Hewson over at Skill Hoarder. He does metal fabrication, among other various things. You know, the guys from Blue Toucan have a lot of, like, interesting wood tools. We've got a lot of air compressors and more procedural knowledge on how to run big things. And then we've got Bill Klingensmith down the hall, who is a type genius. So just even getting ready for our open house this weekend has been so exciting because we've been able to tap into each other's skill sets to, you know, create signage, create, you know, a new walkway, like all sorts of just individual parts of the building are just kind of coming to life because we're motivated.
Okay, so that's Kelly's explanation for why she prefers to be there in this space when there's other human beings there, even if they're not doing exactly what she does, which is interesting. So Barry and Chris, you're both members of your own Carlson cohort?
We're members as well. Yeah.
So what do you do?
I mean, and also just to clarify the membership, you know, we want to get people in. It's like having a great culture in a company. We want people to buy into that sort of idea that we're looking at. I think it was interesting the way these guys described their places. We're looking at our place as a resource. So if you're a small company, you're someone who's looking to do something, we're a place where you can go to where there will be lunch and learns, where there will be activities going on, and there will be a like-minded sort of mentality that everybody's going to help everybody else do well. So the membership of that sometimes, and the priorities of the membership, deselect certain people that just want to come in and buy a space. Okay. We're not selling space. We're selling the idea of co-working, which is that true intention of helping each other be successful.
I think the story is great, too. You know, we have a financial company, family-owned financial company. One of the sons moved back and said, well, you know, I'm just going to be here for a little while. And we have a feature film company, right? And they make monsters like CGI, all this kind of thing. And the son said, well, I really like zombie movies. I've always wanted to make one. And they said, cool, come check it out. Come build a zombie. And that company then funded the trailer for the feature film company. So there's all kinds of collaboration, like exactly what you're talking about. And but what we do, I mean, we have our own companies. We're members. We, you know, had this space and made it happen. But I have a branding and design company that I started in 2006. And I was in my apartment, you know, and didn't have anyone to bounce ideas off of. So I looked around. I was a part of an incubator, shared offices, and another co-work that went away. And then Barry called me and said, you know, hey, have you checked out Carlson?
So working from home for you, you felt less productive.
Absolutely, yeah. And what kind of spun from all this is that I've begun consulting on other co-working projects. We just opened one in the Finger Lakes actually yesterday with the same model membership.
Where is that?
It's in Geneva. Geneva, New York.
Yeah, and we've got listeners on Finger Lakes Public Radio, 89.5 FM on WEOS. They'll be familiar with that. So yeah, where in Geneva, can you tell?
Right in downtown. Yeah, it's 100 Castle Street. And we opened it yesterday. We have 12 seats available, and I think 8 of them are full already.
All right, so, and again, forgive the ignorance here, but I still think, you know, it's important to make sure we understand. If, let's say, I become a member of the Carlson Co-Work, and again, right now you've got 65 members so. It ranges between 45 and 70.
Yeah.
And a member means you're paying a monthly rent, you're signing up for a year, you get a space, you get a time. Tell me again how...
Depending on the space. So, I mean, I know these guys talked about their space. We have a space where there are offices, so you can actually go into a closed office with a door and you can get that space.
Well, be careful with that because there aren't any available for a year. So.
I have one. We're planning on trying to get some additional ones. Then you have the open space, and then you have some unique spaces in this building which just sort of had unique spaces to have an office, so people took those as well. But the, you know, the holy grail of sort of understanding what the community of a co-working thing is, that open space we have in the middle where you have a dedicated desk and you are literally right next to someone else. We have a little name tag that you get. You can bring your stuff in and leave it all over there, but it's a dedicated desk that you get for the duration.
It's $150. You get a monthly membership. And the reason we do monthly is and not daily is the one is foot traffic. There's not a whole lot. You can do that in a big city. But the other is that we want people, even if they don't understand the idea of the community, that they come in for a month and they can actually start to meet people and, and get that.
One of the advantages, I mean, one of the just clear advantages of co-working is the networking aspect. Mm-hmm. That, you know, you might not understand how you're going to work with somebody else. You were talking about how if I do glass blowing and you do something else, how does that connect? You know, technology connects everybody in a common way. So there's always stuff to learn from somebody else as to how they do their business or what they're doing. So we encourage that idea of networking. And we found that that's one of the values that we're getting back from people who have been members there for a long time, is that they're working with people that are there. They're much more smart about another category that they weren't aware of at all. So it becomes this, you know, great, you know, return on investment. It becomes this great back and forth value. That
it's also very organic, where in an incubator space, which I was also a part of, you're required to follow a system that they put in place, where co-working is, that's the difference, you know.
And
flexible.
Listeners, I'm going to come to you in a second here because I have some listener comments, written comments. I have Mike in Rochester on the line. We're going to get to you, Mike. And if you want to call the program, I'd love to hear from you on what your thoughts on sort of the future of workspace and what you think about the co-workspace model that you're hearing described here. It's 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester. It's 263-9994. We're hearing from Barry Strauber and Chris Cooley. They're members and co-founders of Carlson Co-Work. Kelly Cheadle is artistic director of Origami, and she works from the Made on State facility. And Brianna Banford is Yelp Rochester community director. She works from the Outfit Collective. By the way, how many co-working spaces in Rochester are there now? Do we know?
Our knowledge of the other co-working spaces that were around when we started are not around anymore, so we don't really know there are any.
So this is like it in this room?
There are at least three.
Yeah, represented in
this room. There were some.
Not to exclude the competition. We really don't know if
we're not happy about it, but we're just sort of like reporting what it is.
There is one other co-working space. It's sort of sometimes they're side notes, you know? But I think yours, you don't accept members, right?
No, it's a set group of 9 organizations that are part of our group.
So we were talking about that earlier, and that's more of a co-op model.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me grab Mike in Rochester on the phone first up. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi. Co-working and synergy sounds great, and getting ideas, people to bounce ideas off is great, but working from home is usually a loss for the employee, especially from bigger businesses, since they are usually not compensated for the electricity and the heat that they burn at home. And they're often lonely because they don't get to spend any time with anybody else other than interfacing over a computer.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I mean, that's something I think we probably don't often consider is that, you know, when you're working from home, all of those costs fall to you, right?
We had a lady who came into the Port 100 co-work, and she said she was just excited that she wasn't going to have to stare at her dog all day anymore.
Right. Yeah, we get a lot of people that work at home, and just the same feeling that, you know, there's no interaction. They'd like to have some people around. And again, they get the value from meeting other people and seeing what they do and maybe making some connections.
Well, and don't underestimate the whole changing scenery thing. Because if you're in your house all day long, when does work end and when does not work start?
I remember that being a challenge for sure.
And here's Magnus on Twitter who says, trust me, hanging with Kelly is inspiration enough. I love a big dreamer and a creator.
Awesome. I love you, Magnus.
See, look at that.
Where's our guys? There's a little co-work.
You know what? I think in general, though, in Rochester, that whole networking piece where you have so many people who are willing to support each other's creative endeavors, even if we're not in the same space. Like, I know Magnus has my back, clearly, you know, but like there are lots of people who I know that I can, you know, call on for their expertise. And, you know, if they need a space, they can, you know, grab a desk in my space for a month. You know?
That's the difference between space and community, you know, you're facilitating that interaction.
Yeah. I mean, just to build on that, one of the things that was really important when we started Carlson was we looked at the business landscape of Rochester. It's changing. We need entrepreneurial spirit. We need it to be really healthy and going really, going really far in Rochester. So the idea of going to a place where you get that sort of communal feel, that starting your own business is a tough thing, but where do you go in Rochester to get support and get a resource that will help you? There are some places, and a place like Carlson Co-work, we hope, is sort of a place that actually does that.
It's not just Rochester either, man. I've traveled to London and seen co-working spaces all over the world, and it's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, the workforce is changing and shifting, and we're on the precipice of being able to provide services for those people.
All right, so listeners, I've got others on the line. If you're on the phones, we are going to get to you. I want to at least offer a little bit of a different angle to this, which is, number one, this is not exactly the same as sort of the open office trend. The open office trend is more, I think, pulling down the partitions and turning traditional offices. Let's say you're a traditional office with a bunch of cubicles. You kind of take out those walls. Maybe you change the arrangement of how people are seated. You're more face-to-face. And it's certainly less privacy. It's not exactly the same as a co-work setting. Does it have a common thread at all?
Well, what's interesting is I come from a marketing background. So advertising agencies have been doing that for a while, where they started to try to put people in little groups to create collaborations, try to inspire collaboration. Yeah. But different than what we're doing, which is we're inspiring people to look at the win-win situation of being around other people and supporting them.
Sure, and what Barry's describing sort of in that first example is what Google has been doing. Here's Lindsay Kaufman in the Washington Post writing a piece called "Google Got It Wrong, the Open Office Trend is Destroying the Workplace." She writes, "The New Yorker, in a review of research of this nouveau workplace design, determined that the benefits in building camaraderie simply mask the negative effects on work performance. While employees feel like they're part of a laid-back, innovative enterprise, the environment ultimately damages workers' attention spans, productivity, creative thinking, and satisfaction. Furthermore, a sense of privacy boosts job performance, while the opposite can cause feelings of helplessness. In addition to the distractions, my colleagues and I have been more vulnerable to illness." And as the new space intended, I know that seemed kind of lame. Let me just go on here. Let me just close the loop on this. She writes, "As the new space intended, I formed interesting, unexpected bonds with my cohorts. But my personal performance at work has hit an all-time low. Each day, my associates and I are seated at a table staring at each other, having an ongoing 12-person conversation from 9 to 5. It's like being in middle school with a bunch of adults." End quote.
I mean, what's your metric? Like, definitely, what are you measuring? That. Are you measuring your satisfaction? Are you measuring your productivity? I mean, we all have to find a balance. You're not going to be able to share that space if you can't pay the bills. That was part of the reason we, you know, went with the branding for Made on State, was that, like, this is a place where stuff gets done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
I think in general, too, the idea of having the freedom of a remote space is that, from my perspective, I do really well working from home. But I also need to have space where I have time to meet my marketing assistant and my interns. And doing that from a coffee shop sometimes feels less productive than having an actual office space. So I think it's more about the flexibility of different spaces to work from that's really valuable. And I appreciate that.
And
a
Yeah, go ahead. And Barry. I just think the younger generation, the millennial generation coming up, next generation, is all about control a little bit. And the maturation of technology has allowed them to control that. So they can work at home. They can work in a co-working space. They can work at whatever hours they want to work. That's a work-life balance that they think they can deal with. They've seen their parents and the older generation sort of deal with just traditional 9-to-5, be there, go home. Now they're looking at a day where I can go anytime and I can go to multiple places, and with technology allowing me to do the work anywhere, it's sort of a different world. That's why, like, when you ask the question, do you think it's going to keep going? I don't think technology is going to allow it to go back the other way. I think technology is going to drive it and allow people to have this sense of freedom where they can work anywhere. And I think that's sort of interesting.
It's not just the younger generation, though. I mean, at Carlson, our age range is between 22 and 68.
Right.
You know, so it's a shift in the overall economy.
Sure,
you know?
But I definitely think this adds some ammunition to the argument that the stereotypes of the 18 to 35 set, the name of which this generation shall not be said on this program, has been said enough, but the stereotype that less of a work ethic, et cetera, I don't think that's true in my experience. I think what we find is that there's more of a desire for flexible space,
right.
Creativity,
right.
Sort of a sense of ownership,
right.
And co-working does seem more in line with those values.
To be able to control that.
Work-life balance, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's huge.
But here's Caleb on Twitter who writes, working in a social environment is crucial, but many of us also require the chance to shut a door and focus or not be on display.
Right.
So before I jump back to your phone calls, let's hit Caleb's point here. If you have space at a co-work, if you're a member of a co-work, can you get any privacy if you need it?
Well, it's culture too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you walk into Carlson and we've got 65 members, there might be 10 people in the co-working space and they're all working. You know, they're not having foosball, you know, tournaments. And, you know, it's like they meet together. We create the opportunities for them to get together, and we have events and we have lunch and learns so that they can meet one another. And then if they can partner up and do business together, then cool. If not, they go and do their work, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of both.
But, I mean, we've heard a lot about the privacy aspect of it. I mean, if you want to make a phone call, we have the very famous phone room in our place. Literally, you go inside, and it's just this box room, and you just go in there and make a call.
It's like a modern phone
room. You go in there, and the light goes on.
A lot of, like, places in London use the old London-style phone.
Right. People love to take pictures of the phone room, of course. but that's the idea, is that, you know, we'll understand privacy. But I think, you know, I think there's a generation coming up, and even ours more so, is giving into the idea that we're sharing everything. The idea of competition is interesting, because people say to me, like, Chris does marketing, I do marketing, our offices are right next to each other. So the idea of, like, you know, people say to me, well, how can you do that? He sees everything you do, and you see everything he does. I mean, the whole idea of competition now is being changed in terms of, like, we need to share. We need to understand that I will never do it exactly the way somebody else does it. And so I'm going to look at what everybody else is doing and gain some good insights from those people. And then they'll gain insights from me. And maybe we'll forget about this idea of, like, hoarding our stuff and being competitive.
And we have worked together because of that, you know. So he's really good at one thing. I'm really good at the other. And we can get actually bigger contracts based on that.
It's the shared economy sort of thing. We all just sort of, like, think it's going to be better.
It becomes a resource.
Yeah.
All right. So Sam in Rochester and Sandra in Rochester, stay there. We're going to get our only break of the hour. We'll come back to your phone calls. And there are a lot more questions and comments that have come in, including one that indicates that there's some thought out there that this is only for extroverts, that introverts may struggle in a co-work space. Mm-hmm. I think it's an interesting point. We'll talk about that with the folks who are in the studio with us, Barry Strauber and Chris Cooley, who are members and co-founders of the Carlson Co-Work. Kelly Cheadle's here, artistic director of Aragami, and she works from the Maidon State facility. Brianna Banford is Yelp Rochester community director. She works from the Outfit Collective. Online, are you guys online to check out?
We have a website.
Yeah. CarlsonCowork.com.
www.CarlsonCowork.com.
CarlsonCowork.com. Is your cowork online?
MaidonState.com.
And Brianna?
Coming soon.
So, all right, so very interesting. And so stay right here, and we're right back on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, it's Second Opinion Live on Connections, and we're talking about Down syndrome. One in every 691 infants in the United States is born with Down syndrome. It's the most common genetic condition. And we're looking at the transition from childhood into adulthood. What does it look like? How can parents help their adult children with Down syndrome live life to their fullest potential? That's next hour. I'm Evan Dawson. Welcome back to Connections. Sam in Rochester, first up in our second half hour. Go ahead, Sam.
Yes, I am in the process of, well, I've written all the manuscripts for a book, and I am looking for someone who has the knowledge on writing the book and editing it and correcting it and publishing, helping me publish the book. And I was wondering if they did something like that at the jobs that they do there, since they have all these different type people there that's working. Mm-hmm.
It's a good question, Sam. It doesn't sound like Kelly's. Kelly's place sounds more like a maker's space.
Well, it's in some ways we're doing with more, you know, creative physical and like objects, not so much the written word. But what we're hoping to do along, you know, similar to what you're looking for is like the opportunity to find the resources that you need because you don't necessarily know who you should hit up for help. We want to provide that sort of service where, like, if you've got an idea and you're not sure where to go, you know, we have the experience where we know how to get things done. So I'm hoping that there's a literature version of Made on State somewhere here.
Okay. Brianna?
You don't know anyone now, I mean, who does that? Because I have all my manuscripts written, and I contacted one company, but you got to send it out of town, and I don't want to send my manuscripts out of town.
All right, Sam.
I may look on the book right and see my book there, and I'd be awful upset.
Well, so hold on, Sam. Let's Barry, you want to jump in?
We got a pretty wide, really wide group of people that could do a lot of different things, pretty big network. So for sure, we would find someone that can help you with that.
We have copywriters, marketing people. I don't know if there's any publishers, but I'm sure that the connections.
But within the connections of people who have connections, we could. That's the beauty of this big network that we have, is that exponentially they're just people who can help out with practically anything.
65 people in all different range of industries. Cast a pretty wide net.
So Sam, if you bring that into our place, if you come to our place, Carlson Cowork on 60 Carlson Road, come in there and ask for me, and we can help you. We'll set you up.
Now who's me?
Barry Strauber.
Barry. Okay. Yeah. And that's 60 Carlson Road.
60 Carlson Road.
But
you're
going to
have a whole entourage show.
And Barry's not there all the time anymore. Sam, so now I'm going to have to, you know.
But I bet it's an amazing amazing work you're doing. So that would be great.
Thank you, Sam. And see, look, it is sort of an arms-linked attitude here, unless you're just putting on for the studio.
No. We'll give you a good example. A guy came in, Jim Locke, the Jim Locke example. He came in and he said, I want to be a chocolatier. This guy came in and said, I want to start my own business, be a chocolatier. Now, normally you would say, where are we going to find people that can help this guy? But we got him into the system, and there were people that could help him.
He sat down at a desk. He became a member. He committed to the Carlson. He sat down, and the person next to him was running a not-for-profit in Belize or something like that that is dealing with chocolate farms.
Oh, that's renowned.
But there's no way that we could have anticipated.
One of the marketing guys, his dad started a chocolate company, so he had all these connections that
he's like Willy Wonka now. This guy.
That's great.
All right, let me jump back on the phone. Sandra in Rochester next up. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hi, I'm a student actually of Barry Strauber on his Principles of Advertising class, and I wanted to give a shout out to him. He's a really awesome professor, and he actually got me into Carlson Cowork, and the environment is nothing like I've ever been in, and it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to participating in the future.
Sandra, I'll send you that check later.
And you get an A+.
You know, I have to admit, I think part of what we're looking for in our space is going back to that college art experience where you had these, you know, individual studios, access to lots of tools and machinery, and just that open space, you know, even mentally of like, what if we can do anything? What could we do?
It's the creative community in Rochester, once you really look at the big scope of it, is amazing. And we sit back sometimes and think, it's great to aggregate it sometimes and give them the resources because, you know, like, again, this city has some challenges. And if we can be creative and put together all the resources we have, it could be awesome. You know, we look at the power and the scope of who we have and we think, just set up places where they can do great work. And maybe up till now, it's been tough to find those places. We want to continue to make those places.
You know, yeah. And making those connections between the people that have the ideas and the people who can fund those ideas would be huge.
Okay, I want to bring in producer Megan Mack, because I know we have had a couple of comments come in on this sort of the subject of introverts. There's an email that came in from Josh, and there was, I think, another comment somewhere, Meg, but both on the subject of, you know, whether co-working space works for people who are introverts. So, Megan, you want to read those comments, and our panel will kick it around?
Sure. The email from Josh says, another downside of open offices has been illustrated in the book Quiet by Susan Cain. Introverts in particular may have difficulties working in an open environment for reasons you previously mentioned. And again, that's from Josh.
And then there was another one I thought about.
Yes. Go ahead. There's an off-air comment from Mary in Rochester. She says, open office environments assume a level of work collaboration that isn't accurate for all work types, particularly difficult for introverts to function in.
Okay, so similar comments there from Mary and Josh. Mm-hmm. Thanks, guys. And so let's kind of go around the table here. Is this an introverts-only kind of a setup? I'm sorry, an extroverts-only. Is it difficult for introverts?
No.
I don't think so.
No. I think that actually a big percentage of the people that come into Carlson would qualify themselves as introverts. Mm-hmm. And they are actually looking for more expansive experiences. The neat thing is, if you're an introvert, like, I think I'm kind of both, I need to go home every once in a while. Just chill out, you know? So you have that flexibility. It's not like you have to go in there all the time. But
flexibility, I think, is the key word, too. Yeah. It, you know, any of these offices who go in and kind of make the sweeping change of, like, oh, we're going to take down all of the cubicles. You're like, well, did you ask me what I wanted? You know, what my best space is? If you want my best work, I need to have the best environment for it.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, when you go into a co-working space, no one's dictating constant involvement with someone else. You know, you have to engage all the time. They're just saying, listen, there are all these people around. We do have guys that come in and they just focus and do their stuff. But also we have people, you know, who want to engage. So you can take it to each extreme. I think even an introvert likes the idea of being in a space where there is resource for them.
The neat thing about co-working, the way we've designed it too, is that you have these monthly memberships. So say you tried it, I would say just try it out. Right. You know, you can leave after the month. Mm-hmm. And what we find, the turnover is really low.
People don't leave,
you know.
Yeah, I think in the essence of the Outfit Collective, for us, everybody was working remotely. And it was great for all of us, but there are times where we need to be in an office space. And we all collaborate with each other anyway, like the Rochesteriots involved and Sean Dunwoody. And so we're connecting with each other on a regular basis, and this just makes it easier for us. And it's actually helpful that everybody's doing their own thing and we're not part of, you know, the same team or working on the same projects, because you can focus. And then when you have that opportunity to, like, hey, let's, you know, step outside and have a 30-minute meeting in the small conference room and we're good to go. Right. So you get that balance of, you know, private time and personal time.
An email from Adam just wanted to know, said he had missed it. And hold on one second, guys. Just going to try to read. In case he missed it, just wants to know what everyone's paying to be part of the co-work.
Starts at $150 a month.
For how much space?
For a desk, a designated desk. It's all secure. It's locked. You get 24/7 access. Right. You get access to the community kitchen stuff. Wi-Fi is included. Everything's included. And we have 2,000 parking spots, free parking spots.
Oh, my God.
There.
Right. Wow.
and if I could add, our next-door neighbor, who's coming in very soon, was Clover Lanes and is now Radio Social. So we will have a bowling alley next door as part of a restaurant.
Yeah.
So it's becoming a building that's really sort of gaining some steam and doing really well.
We have a giant waterfall.
Sweet.
Good.
Are you paying around the same rates, Kelly and Brianna?
Our space is based on, you know, our square footage and individually calculated, because we're renting individual spaces in a large building. We're not paying a monthly fee, you know, as far as, like, communal property goes. Although, you know, we're finding that there might be some things that we want to, you know, buy together. So we might be tossing around the idea of having a small, you know, stipend that we just toss in, so that way if we want to go buy some new pots for the kitchen, there's just some funds there.
Okay. Brianna?
We're the same. We share the cost of the space and Wi-Fi and all that, so.
I wonder if you guys think of, I think of Michael Scott on The Office, also not a real person, was played by Steve Carell, but think about The Office. And they created their famous, their now infamous ad campaign for their product, Limitless Paper in a Paperless World, which, you know, which Michael was so proud of. You know, it's one of my favorite sitcom moments ever is Limitless Paper in a Paperless World. If we continue to build offices in the same model, are we eventually moving into limitless office in an office-less world? We already have a lot of empty office space in Rochester. Right. And I'm curious to know, you know, I think there are some settings that will logically be similar to what we're used to as office space for a long time to come.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But do you think that this will be, for lack of a better word, and I don't mean this as a pejorative, niche, or is this going to be more common? Barry?
I think you look at technology and the acceleration and how it drives everything. I think, again, the control that gives you in terms of when you can work and when you have to work and how you work and where you're going to work. I mean, one of the examples that's interesting at Carlson is big companies are hiring people from other cities and around, and people actually don't go there and travel there, but they're at Carlson, and they just do it by, you know, the virtual sense of just, you know, being able to call them and do the work and then go home at the end of the day. I mean, it's changing work that much where you don't even have to go to the company that you're working for. You could just do it from anywhere. So I see the need to continue to create these offices because of that technology and because of the fact that it's not holding you down anywhere. And again, I think this generation, again, loves that the freeing aspect of doing the work-life balance where you can just do whatever and go around. I mean, these kids say to me now, so let me get this straight, when you worked in a traditional office, you worked 9 to 5 and you had to stay there from 9 to 5, even if there might not have been work to do. And I go, yeah. And they go, gee, that's interesting because I'm going home now.
Yeah.
So they like that sort of future sense. So because of that, I think the office spaces are going to have to sort of conform to that and figure out what they're going to do.
Can I drop a quick statistic? So 40% of the U.S. workforce is going to be contract workers by the year 2020. Mm-hmm. And they won't have a typical office environment because they're work-from-home professionals, they're digital nomads, and they're these entrepreneurs. And so where are they going to work and if they don't have a typical office environment? And I think the answer is they're going to try and, you know, look at co-op opportunities like yours and co-working spaces. Because 40% of the workforce, that's like 60 million people. That's a huge, huge number.
And you haven't even taken into account, like, what about the jobs that are no longer or going to exist? Like, you know, we're going to have robotic trucks.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Right.
At some point, we're going to have that discussion of what do we do when we'd all don't have to work.
Right.
You know, like we can pursue our passions and work together. And you know, like that's when culture and like all of those fabulous things get back to.
To Barry's point, too, I mean, because people are working in a global economy, but they can live from home. And we find this in the Finger Lakes, too, at the co-working spaces, that they're bringing dollars in from a global market, and they're spending it on a local economy, stimulating that. So, mm-hmm. like, as city planners and economic developers, like, let's look at this model.
I mean, look at the example of my college kids, including Sandra, say, can I go to New York City after I graduate? And I say, well, there's a prohibitive sort of cost involved with that, but you can work here and maybe have a relationship with a company in New York City where you can just work from here and do that. So if we could set up spaces like Carlson Cowork where you can actually do that. We have a guy, John, in our office. He works for an ad agency in Brooklyn. Doesn't have to go to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. He just stays here.
That is remarkable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is, to me, a great opportunity for the future workforce to kind of get away from having to pay New York City rent, right, New York City prices.
John Weiss having a house in Rochester.
Yeah.
People are moving to Geneva from Silicon Valley and Boston back to Geneva, and you know, they can buy a house 3,200 square feet for $100,000.
Yeah, they're probably blown away by that.
Or raise a family, and now they have the amenities of a big city in those
and
places.
And it's great for Rochester because we want to keep those people.
Right.
We want to have these young guys stay here, so if they can do it through technology and resources like co-working spaces, then that's
and your
fine.
Students,
that's
too.
Great.
I mean, they then, from RIT and U of R, they're
well,
able
and,
to stay.
And if we want them to stay, do we want to build more office buildings? Or do we want, like, for example, like Parcel 5, do we need another office building right there?
No.
How about like a big community collaborative space? You know, just...
No, we're going to turn this into another Parcel 5.
we have to make a stand about
that. At some point, we got to talk about
show.
The,
yeah.
Sorry, just had
talk
to
about that fifth late after the Bell proposal that came in. That's another day. I think what Chris was referring to when it comes to the numbers comes from a 2020 Intuit report that found that already 33% of the workforce in this country is independent or freelance, mm-hmm. and by 2020, 40%.
Yeah, that statistics used a lot.
Okay.
See, that's interesting.
And... also found that according to 2014 workforce statistics, 20% of employees across the world already telecommute. And that same research found 64% of workers, almost two-thirds, would take lower pay for the ability to work from home, the caveat being if they're in an office or sort of a traditional office space. If you ask the traditional office worker, would you rather stay in the office space you're in now, or would you rather work from home? Two-thirds are saying, I'd rather work from home and I will take less money to do
it. That's interesting.
Yeah. But I think, you know, Chris, what you're sort of saying is this experience of working from home, the grass isn't always greener. There's a lot to be gained from it, but there's also some things that you couldn't find. Do you all experience, I'm curious to know, Kelly, Brianna, in your settings at Carlson, do you have people working there who said, you know, I thought I was just going to work from home, but I really needed a space. Does that happen?
Almost everyone.
A lot of people.
Really?
Yeah. Well, the other neat thing is that people who have kids or, you know, families at home, that they were working from home and feeling torn because they're doing their work and they feel like they should be with their kids. They're with their kids. They feel like they should be doing
the
work.
The distraction now, of home is
the divide. And you spoke about that, too, the environment.
Well, and for us, I think one of the benefits for us was that we all kind of combined our random satellite spaces. So I think artists are, you know, typically on the forefront of doing things differently.
Yeah.
So, you know, like Bill was saying, he had his screen printing stuff was in his basement and his computer was in his office. And so now he's got it all in one space. And Allie with her framing, like she was still cutting trim in the garage. And it was just, you know, so the ability to have all of your tools in one space and to have access to the know-how from somebody down the street or down the hall is huge.
There's something in our DNA, I think, when you go into an office and you start to do something, that everything's sort of set up the way it should be set up and sort of in a nice way. And you can't, at home, it's just a little too chaotic to sort of do that we've gotten from people. So, yeah. So we have people who just love coming to our place because they know where everything is and they've got their printer and they've got their computer set up. It just makes for a better environment, yeah.
Yeah, I think for me, my desk is in my living room, so to have a separation from the living space and where I'm spending all of my time is really important because it takes some practice, too. I think that's a big thing that people don't realize is that working remotely is actually pretty challenging because it's up to you to make decisions about how you work most productively. And so you got to kind of test a few formats and different experiences in that for me. This is necessary. I have a few days at home and a few days in the co-working space, and it works perfectly.
And if I could maybe just add another pushback to some of the stereotyping, another stereotype of working from home would be that you're either always going to be distracted by home setting things or, well, you're at home, you know, that you can somehow get away with working less.
Right.
I find, you know, in my work, I'm sort of always working in terms of reading and researching and preparing. And there are times where it's hard to turn it off at home. Mm-hmm. And I would think that if I exclusively work from home, I would not really know how to create a good boundary to turn it off. Whereas with a co-working space, when you're going into work, you're going into work. Right. But when you're out of there, you're out of there.
See, that's
and that may actually be a boundary that helps.
Right. Sometimes boundaries get you to stop,
yeah,
is good.
And sometimes you need to.
Right. No, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, you have to sort of self-discipline yourself to do that.
Yeah. I mean, that was the reason that I first started reaching out and trying to find and experience these co-working spaces was because I just needed that separation. I realized I wasn't being effective. And then there was this whole other thing of, wow, well, I can bounce my ideas off of people. And that, to me, became the true essence of what we're trying to do. And, you know, it does sound like kumbaya, but I got to be honest. I mean, it happens all the time.
It's like a great culture. Yeah. I mean, if you can go into a company and you feel like everybody's on the same page and everybody wants to go to that one place with everybody else, then that's what we're doing, and it's turned out that was the intention of co-working.
Yeah, I mean, people come in and they say, well, I just wanted to get away from my house. But there's so much more here with the people who are involved. Mm-hmm. You know,
finding your tribe.
Have you had to expel any bad apples?
No.
We've not let people become members, though, I think.
Well, no, you know, it's not that we deny people. We come in and say, here's the community. It's very involved.
Right.
We have all these participatory things. And some people are turned off by that if they're introverts, you know what I mean? But then there's other people who are introverts and go, well, that sounds like something that would stretch me a little bit. And that's a good thing. You know, but people have left, but mostly because they've grown their business or they've, you know, had to move or that we haven't had anyone leave in animosity. And actually, the communication tools that we have, we leave all those people on those communication tools because they've formed relationships. They've become, you know, bonded in a larger form. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Pretty placid in your settings.
Yeah, we can't necessarily dictate who comes in and rents, but, you know, we've got a few spaces left. I mean, that was kind of mind-blowing. We showed up and it was kind of funny. We had this vision like 10 years from now. Wouldn't it be great if we could all like buy a building and go move in together? Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, this would be great. So we came in with, you know, part of our tribe already there. And now the space is almost full because everybody is feeling that excitement and that energy. They want to be there. So I would love to add like a jewelry artist that's working with like small metal things. I'd love to add like a marketing or a event type person, you know, just something that kind of complements this package we've got going so far.
Okay. Brianna, pretty placid at your side?
Everything. Yeah. I think when Jason and Stephanie from the Rochester area started this whole program, they really picked out a solid group of people and kind of initially launched it to this group, and all of us were on board, and we ended up coming through with a good group of people, and especially because we're all working together anyway on a daily basis, it just works out, and it's really kind of evolved into a lot of awesome things.
David on Twitter says, and this is exactly what you're talking about with sort of the future of work and how we've been freed up to work from different places. He says, I work for a corporation in Maryland, but I work from Fairport. My neighbor works for a company in Pennsylvania. We do lunch. It's fabulous.
That's great.
So, but, you know, like 20 years ago, you never would have imagined. This is sort of a new world where it doesn't matter. Like, I worked in marketing, and people would say, well, you have to be in New York City. You can't do it from anywhere else because, you know, that's the place to do it. You can do it anywhere. And companies know that, and corporations, enjoying that.
The biggest challenge, honestly, is when you're working with a company in India and you know, you've got to get a phone call at 2:00 in the morning, so you might be like talking business in your pajamas, right? Literally.
Absolutely. Well, let me grab one more question from a listener, and that's from Gloria in Canandaigua. Go ahead, Gloria.
Yeah. Hi. I this is very exciting.
Good.
And I'm sure that I would not be involved, but because I'm retired, and it just isn't something I would do. But I see it as a great thing. But I wonder about health insurance.
It's a really
don't
good
we
question.
All? So
That's a really good question. Yeah.
Okay.
Next Thursday we'll be on again with
Gloria. Thanks for that phone call. Okay. Well, but what's the short answer?
Short answer is that we've engaged Excellus. I mean, we've engaged some of the healthcare companies and talked to them about the idea that for an entrepreneur, the toughest thing is getting your own insurance because it costs a lot of money. So we have guys like actually.
Well, we don't offer as an organization. There's some technicalities that come into that, but we have had events where we've brought in people who are experts in that, so that the members have an opportunity to listen. By being a member,
right? You know? But it's, so it's an interesting issue that we pull with entrepreneurs. Yeah,
owners. To answer the question, you're required to have your own insurance. You know,
but it's interesting. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Well, I work for Yelp, so they have insurance. Well,
for us, thank you, Obamacare, because honestly, like I know it gets a lot of flack, but that's what makes it possible. Because being an individual entrepreneur, it's really challenging. That's a huge part of the budget.
The Affordable Care Act fills the space for you.
Yes.
Okay. Real quick here before we finish here, Huffington Post did have their list of sort of who's using co-working and the rise of co-working article. And their list includes the freelancer, the startup company or small business, the corporation. And they said that this would be a surprise to some, but corporations have been finding co-work space to be useful for parts of their company, if not all. Mm-hmm. And then niche audiences, and they kind of go into that. But I wonder if you guys agree with that in general, that outline of who's
Yeah.
In general. I mean, I actually think of it as entrepreneurs. You have your digital nomads, which are people that just travel around, and work from home professionals, which I think would fall under a corporate sort of environment, right? They're hired by a company and they can work from home like we've been talking about.
But again, like we talked about before, if you're an entrepreneur in Rochester, you want to start your own business, it's a little tricky to do that. You got the legal aspect and all that. Where do you go? And maybe one of the places that we're happy about now is you go to Carlson Cowork, because you've got all these other entrepreneurs who have done the same thing. So you can go into that environment and feel like, okay, I understand legally what I need to do. I understand the kind of work I need to sort of do. It becomes a place in Rochester where we encourage people to, if you've got a dream and you want to do something, come to Carlson. You'll be able to find out.
The difference is that you can go to an incubator, but you have to apply to get in. You have to put numbers together, a business plan. You have to have an employee.
But what if you don't know how to even make a business plan?
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly. Or what if you're one person
the
that
community? Yeah,
right. Exactly. Well, and an incubator would maybe teach you how to do some of those things, but you're required to be there for a year. Well, how about figuring it out on your own? this is a co-working.
All right, down to our last minute. Can people who are curious about these co-working spaces, these three featured on this broadcast, can they pop in and see them?
Absolutely.
Is that true?
Call us.
Set up a
number
tour.
On the website.
Well, the website
There's
is?
A quick phone number right on the website. What's that number?
Just go to the website.
Yeah,
go
to the website.
For a tour. And you can do that actually for the Port
Carlson,
and Port 100 in
Carlson
Geneva
CoWork.com.
Well.
CarlsonCoWork.com to check it out. Set up a tour. You
and
can
please
do that
come.
If you
want you should see it. I mean, it's amazing. So you guys come by.
Conveniently enough, this weekend we're having our inaugural open house. We're going to be doing quarterly open houses, you know, in order to make sure we're getting our work done. Typically, the building isn't necessarily open to, you know, walk-in traffic, but, you know, you can come and make an appointment.
And that's the Maidon State campus, which is what address?
510 State Street. You'll see you from at noon, and there's another session at 2 o'clock.
On
this Saturday.
On Saturday. Okay. Thank you. And Brianna, I know the website's not up yet, but the space is where?
It is 87 North Clinton, so it's in the Michael Stearns building.
Thank you for being here, Brianna Banford. Thank you. Kelly Cheadle, nice seeing you here. Barry and Chris, continued success for all of you in your individual enterprises and in the co-work spaces, and we appreciate the time this hour.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
Short break and more connections next.